Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 142. My name is Matt from MRPTechReviews.com, and thanks for joining us this week on the Podnuts Network for another episode of the MRP Tech Podcast. Sorry I didn't get to an episode last week. Last week was a very busy week for me. On top of having just a general busy week at school, what I had was I had two concerts this past week. One was a big band concert on Wednesday, and another thing that I was working towards was debuting a new small group that I'm putting together made up of members from the bigger group. And we had our debut concert on Sunday, and that was taking up a little bit of time for me to get everything organized for that show. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to work on any projects, tech projects last week. And I decided for the better just to take a week off and come back and regroup this week. And so far I've tried to record about three times today, and every time I was about to sit down and record, it started pouring out. And so if you hear a little rain in the background, I'm just going to push through it. It's not raining too hard right now, so hopefully we can get a good quality recording out for this show. Since I have music on the brain, so to speak, for this week, what I'm going to do with this episode is I'm going to talk to you about different app picks that musicians should have or should use on a regular basis. If you're a musician or if you're somebody interested in music, these tools will help you out in many, many different ways to sort of get yourself organized, all the way from organizing a show all the way up to and including the performance itself, and maybe even afterwards as well. So if there's one thing I'm really terribly bad at, it's paperwork. I really hate paperwork. And if there's one thing that I'm really good at, it's putting shows together. And that's sort of a passion of mine. I've always tried to push the limits of what I could do. And I learn along the way. I make mistakes along the way. And no show that I've ever done has been perfect. But I always try to do something new. I always try to do something different. I always try to have different people involved. And it's a really fun process. And kind of got one of the most nicest compliments last week from a good friend of mine who I've known for many years. And he had just moved back to the area, and I invited him to come play with my band. He was a percussionist. I invited him to come play with my band. And afterwards, he just kind of threw out a comment like he really dug the community feel. And that was like the best compliment for me, because one of the things that I always wanted was for it to be a community effort. I wanted the musicians to enjoy being there. I just want them to show up and play. Everything else is taken care of for them. And the other thing is I wanted people in the audience to feel like they were a part of it. So a lot of times the audience members are picking the songs that they want to hear. And we're not just picking the music that we want to play. So having that whole community effort was something that I built upon from the very beginning. And the more that I experiment with these things, the more I sort of establish a system of a routine of what works. And when I first started out, didn't have much, and was sort of built from donations from every performance, and was able to get a lot of things that worked. And eventually we started doing things like a live stream. And I just want to talk today about some of the things that I use on a daily basis as a musician that I think a lot of people could benefit from. And hopefully, you know, there's enough room out there for all of us to use these tools and still do what we do. And some people out there may have better tools. That's fine. This is my workflow, which works for me. And just going to talk first off about some open source software that I use, whether it comes to recording or editing or that type of thing. So first off, from the very beginning, if I'm organizing a concert, what I usually do is I will create a set list using something like LibreOffice. LibreOffice is a competitor to Microsoft Word, that type of thing. I use LibreOffice just because it's free and I don't have to worry about having a license for Office 365 or I don't have to be online in order to use Google Docs or that type of thing. So LibreOffice is my go-to for creating set lists, getting some information just written out. If I want to create a sheet like a HyperDoc with links and stuff like that for songs that I want to play and people want to go listen to recordings, I use LibreOffice just because when I send it out, anybody can use it. I can save it in a Word format. I can save it in whatever format I want. So from the very beginning, I try to do as much using free and open source software as possible so that it sort of scratches an itch that I have of trying to do everything as low cost as possible, not spending a whole lot of money on software, that type of thing. So a lot of the software that I use is open source, and especially when it comes to production and when it comes to editing, that type of thing. There are app picks later on that do cost money, but for now, I'm just going to stick with some open source things. Okay, so one of the things that I feel strongly about is having everything as prepared as possible so that everybody can show up and just play. So when it comes time for an actual concert and I'm doing a live stream sort of event, what's really great about that is that I can pull the audio directly from our soundboard and just pipe it through one of the auxiliary sends in the soundboard. And then I can send that to a computer, which then live streams directly to YouTube. It's a very easy process. And all I do is set the mix in the mixer to sort of a general high quality mix of everything and push that out the aux ends into the same rig that I use for podcasting, my Focusrite Scarlett 2i2. It's just a two input XLR input that goes to USB. And everything I do with the live stream is through software, basically. I can live stream in just audio. I can do video as well. It all depends on the internet connection that I have. And so I use something that I also use for podcasting called OBS. If you're not familiar with that, it's open broadcasting software. It is free. It has a little learning curve to it, but it is great for live streaming. In the settings, you go in, put your YouTube live stream key in there. You tweak some audio settings so that your audio sync is there and you're good to go. Basically, you can build a scene. It can hold multiple camera views if you wanted to do that. I just keep it simple. I have one camera view. And actually, I didn't think about it when I first started doing this, but the live stream itself is sort of a backup recording for me. And I usually record through the video camera, and I record audio separately from the soundboard. But occasionally I slip up and I'm an idiot and I forget to hit record on the audio. But if I know the live stream is working, I have a pretty decent recording from the live stream after it's through. As long as Google doesn't flag me for some sort of copyright issue with one of the songs. It doesn't happen very often, but occasionally it does. So and in that case, the whole audio ends up being muted after it's processed. So OBS with live streaming is absolutely key. You can do it with just audio if you don't have a video camera or a capture card, but building your scenes with OBS is just awesome. For those starting out and they might be interested in just very, very basic audio editing features, Audacity is a great program. It's something I use for podcasting. It's something I use when I have to edit a short clip of audio and I want to sort of clean up something really quickly and then maybe take that audio and put it into a video itself. Audacity is a great tool for that. When I try to get my students into recording, Audacity is the first thing that I recommend to them because it is free, because it is open source, not because it's the greatest thing out there, but because it's something that they can start very easily with. So going back to organizing a show now, one of the things that I use quite frequently is most of the time I'm in Gmail with any type of business situation that I'm doing. And the reason for that is not because it's my favorite pick, not because it's my favorite application and G Suite with everything included with G Suite. It's not because it's my favorite, but it is very easy for me to take a Google Calendar and embed that on a website, or take a YouTube video and embed that on a website. So it's easier for me to use Google products to enhance my business and enhance what I want to do to get the name out there so people can find it, so people can recognize it, because recognition is a big thing. Now, social media is another aspect of this. I was never really big on social media. And one thing that I want to make sure is that my pages out there are constantly updated. One of the things that I always try to do is make sure that I'm always linking to my website rather than posting just on social media. So people are invited to come check out what's on the website. And I host a lot of my things on HostGator right now. It seems to be the best choice at the time. I've had really good success with their tech support when I needed it. It is hit or miss once in a while, but for the most part, I maintain all of my sites. I maintain everything with it, and I can do much more than I could when I had a Wix website, which didn't have a whole lot to offer. It did have a lot of things, but HostGator really has everything that I absolutely need when it comes for music production, show production, that type of thing. So having your own website is a must if you are a group, because not everybody's on social media, and you want to make sure things like SEO and that are set correctly so that when your name is searched with things like Google or Bing, that your search results will show your name, whatever that is. So that's really important when it's coming for musicians, making sure that your name is out there and you can be recognized, whether on social media or websites or that type of thing. Now, I don't particularly use more than, say, one social media. I just get overwhelmed. I don't like to use a whole lot of things. So I usually stick with Facebook. I know there are other options out there, but Facebook seems to work pretty well at this point. So having everything like that established ahead of time is really going to help you out. And a lot of other companies out there, if you look at things like SpaceX, which, by the way, Falcon Heavy launch this Tuesday at 6:36. So I'm going to try to have the show out before that, 6:36 Eastern, Falcon Heavy launch. When you look at SpaceX, they don't stream just directly to YouTube. They always promote their website and they live stream directly from the website. So we do the same thing. When I live stream to the website because I want people to go to the website and see what else we have to offer. So those little things are things that have helped me, or I've learned over the last few years, that will maybe help some other musicians. So when it comes time for myself and apps that I use, there are a lot of apps that are very helpful as a musician. From a music teacher's standpoint, it's always great to have a tuner and a metronome on your device. One metronome that I use, and I'm an iOS user, so it's called Tempo. That is my favorite metronome. There are other metronomes available in the App Store. Basically, a metronome helps you practice, keeps a steady beat for you, and the better metronomes can do more than that. But always having a tuner and a metronome available is highly recommended, because if you were to buy both of those separately, they're like, you know, anywhere from $50 to $150, depending on what you want to get. And you can download high quality apps for, you know, $3, $4, something like that, if you need to. The tuner that I use is called ClearTune, ClearTune. And it's by far the best tuner app that I have used. There may be better ones out there. Also, what's handy, believe it or not, it's actually handy to have a piano app on your iPad. Now, it's not something that I use as a piano player by any means, but if I want to hear something, or if I need a pitch played, that being just available at any time is something that is extremely useful. If I want to give a tuning note for something, I can, or if I'm trying to check pitches with say students, then I can play a note on the piano app itself, and I don't have to walk 20 feet to the piano in my room or just try to guess at the pitch, that type of thing. So having that piano app is definitely useful. The one that I use is just called The Piano, and it's very simple, very elegant. There's nothing fancy about it, but it does everything that I need. One of my favorite music apps, and this would be for somebody who's trying to learn how to improvise in certain styles of music, say jazz styles or Latin music or even some rock music. It's an app called iReal, and there's a pro version called iReal Pro. That's what I'm using. And you can create your own chord progressions in different styles of music, and you can learn to improvise or make up melodies as you play this. So it's sort of like a band in your iPad or tablet or whatever it is you want to have. And it will play chord progressions. It will play styles somewhat correct. And it's not the most amazing sounding backtrack, so to speak, but it is something that I use on a very frequent basis to practice, and has helped me tremendously over the last few months. So having those apps available anywhere you go is a great resource. There are other apps as well. Some apps out there that are going to teach you how to play certain chords, some apps that will teach you different scales, the basic fundamentals for your instrument, that type of thing. I've always found all of those different apps teaching you scales, chords, fundamentals, they're sometimes hit or miss. So I don't really want to get into a lot of these music apps that are basically one hit wonders, where they have one particular skill. There are apps out there that are better for all around types of things. One app that I'm just getting into now is called Tonal Harmony, and it is a quite expensive app. I think it was like $9.99 or $10, something like that. And it does teach you some harmony things, some music theory. Basically, you're mapping tonal harmony, which is kind of cool to see visually. It's probably the most in-depth app that I've seen as far as what music apps can do. So that one's called Tonal Harmony. And another great tool that I've had on my iPad for a really long time, and I haven't really used a whole lot until just recently, is an app called Fourscore. Now, what Fourscore does is you can take your music and digitize it, so put digital copies into Fourscore, and you can create things like set lists. You can create basically different books for different bands that you perform in. So you can have all of your music, instead of carrying around a folder for this band and a folder for that band and a play-along book here and a practice book here, you put everything in a digital format and put it in that app, and you'll have everything organized the way that you want to. You can easily change pages. You can find things very quickly and in order. And it's something that I see a lot of musicians using more and more. They're getting away from paper and going digital. So Fourscore is a really great app for musicians. So, all right, the next thing that I want to talk about is the more business end apps that I use. And this can go for just about anybody, but one thing that I would recommend as a musician is having some sort of app for communication. You could use it as simple as Facebook Messenger, or you could as simple as an email. Email tends to work pretty well for me for the most part, but I'm slowly changing into other things. But having some sort of messenger service where you can know that members of your group can contact you, whether you have cell service or not. If I'm at school, for say, and I don't have cell service, but I still have the internet, I can still do I can still contact if I need to. So having multiple avenues of contact is important for musicians. Now, let's say I have mix down all of my recordings and I want to archive my music. Okay. So I usually have my music archived in a couple of different places. I usually archive it in Google Drive as one place, but Google Drive could go away. So I like to archive everything locally as well. So having things like your own cloud service might be something worthwhile. So you can listen to your music anywhere you want to go. You could use something like Nextcloud, or you could just make it very simple. You could use something like Plex, your Plex server. That's what I do for my music. I have all of my music on a hard drive, and I can listen to it, pull it up if I need to, just about anywhere. I caught the deal with Plex, and I think the lifetime fee was like $125 or something like that, but I caught it at a $70 or $75 deal, and couldn't be happier with that. So Plex is really great for organizing your music. It's a great alternative to iTunes. It's cross-platform, so you can use it on multiple. You can use it on Windows, Mac, or Linux, or whatever you want to use it. And you set it up yourself, and you can not only do that, but you can import movies and photos and everything else. So Plex is really great, and it's a place that I like to keep all of my archive available for myself. So a lot of times when I'm sort of going through something that's a lot of repetition or something that I have to do quite often, having a system is something that's very important. And one thing that I would recommend, whether you are a new musician or you are an experienced musician, is having a list of all the items that you have, whether you are just a contracted musician or you're putting together your own band, have a list of everything that you bring and double check to make sure that you are not forgetting something at a performance, or you haven't forgotten to bring something from a performance. So organization, being as organized as you can be for any type of business, is something that is extremely useful. And I would recommend using some sort of notepad service like Evernote, or even just the Notes app on iOS, something like that, where you just have access to a list of all the things that you need on a daily, monthly, weekly basis, whatever it is, whenever you are performing. And that way you're eliminating all the possibilities that could go wrong. So after, again, the gig is over, after your performance is over, you may want to go through and edit your recordings. I've already talked about Audacity. There are other tools out there like VLC, I would recommend for media playback. It's a great media player. I would also recommend things like Handbrake, which is a converting tool that you can convert videos to MP3s. Handbrake is an awesome tool for musicians. And if you're somebody who likes to write music, things like MuseScore are free. You don't have to pay the subscription fee for things, for cloud services like Sibelius, or you don't have to pay the extreme amount for Finale, those notation softwares. MuseScore is awesome. I've been getting into it more and more recently. And there's a MuseScore app that I've talked about on this show before. You can download your scores right to an iPad or a tablet, and you'll be off and running in just about no time. So there are really great apps for musicians all around. And these are just a few apps that I use on a daily basis. And each of them has a different specific function that I use in my life. As much as I hate cloud services, cloud services are great for when you're trying to share things with musicians. So rather than trying to hunt 20 different people down who live 2 hours from me in multiple directions, if I have something I need to get to them, using something like Dropbox, drop it in Dropbox and they have it instantly. Or if I need to get a hold of somebody on short notice, like someone in my band has a conflict with a performance and I need to hire a sub, just having Dropbox available to send somebody a link and say, here, check this out real quick. I'll see you tomorrow. And so Dropbox has been a lifesaver for me and that type of stuff. Now, I could use my home cloud server to do that as well, but it's running on a Raspberry Pi, so it's not all that powerful. So in this case, I make an exception to use something like Dropbox. I don't have to maintain it. I don't have to really worry a whole lot about a lot of things. It could go away at some point, but again, all the things I use on Dropbox, I also have my own local copy of as well. So I keep those up to date. So there's a lot of little tips and tricks you learn over the years to make things much faster for yourself. So I would recommend all these apps that I've mentioned today in the show, and there's a whole bunch more that I have tried. These ones just happen to be in my current workflow, so I thought I'd share them with you. But if you have great, if you have other great apps and that I didn't recommend, I'd love to check them out. You can send me an email, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. I would love to hear some other great music apps, even some Android apps as well. I'm not all that familiar with Android these days, but I'm sure there are if not the similar names, there are other apps out there as well. But in the case of businesses stuff, it's got to work. It's got to work every time, and it can't slow me down. It's got to get out of my way, and it's got to be something that doesn't take twice as long to do something that I could do with, say, some proprietary software. So these are just little tricks, little tips that I've used to organize my life, because you know what? Music is something for me that is stress relief, and music is something that I absolutely love to do. I've been a music teacher for 12 years now, and when I go into school, I have fun every day. It is a job that I love to do, and that's what makes my life fun. And when I leave school, you know, I do other things as well. I have other hobbies. But when it comes down to it, when I have a time to get together with some professional musicians, that's what makes life really fun. And I go out and, you know, it's exhausting. It's a lot of work, but it's great for the local community. And I just absolutely love doing it. It's something that I'm in the past, I've done more and slowly got busy. I finished grad school and did a few large concerts, and now I'm looking at small group things that's coming up, and it's an exciting time. And music is just a big part of my life. Even for those of you who might not have music in your life, and you might not be a musician, some of you have your own music that you like to listen to, and whatever music that is, that's awesome. You know, and music can be stress relief, and it can be, even if you're not a musician, music is such a great thing. So I could talk hours on that, but I'm not going to do that today. And just wanted to share sort of a workflow moment for all of you. And if you're a musician or starting out as a musician, maybe some of these things will help you out. Or you could always contact me and ask questions, because I have loads of information that might help you out. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you next time.